Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. With Scotland in Europe still top of the agenda, Celtic have a lot to do after being held to a goalless draw against Kairat Almaty, with sack the board chants coming from the stands. Fallout continues from Rangers' first half capitulation against Club Bruges. It's now over to Aberdeen and Hibs to fly the flag for Scotland tonight. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dalziel.
Well, it was certainly not a good couple of nights for Celtic and Rangers, Gordon. Started all on Tuesday night, and after about 2 or 3 minutes the Rangers fans couldn't believe what they're watching, and I think most of the Celtic fans last night for 90 plus minutes couldn't believe what they're watching. Yes, a little bit better in the second half. Celtic fans not happy with the Celtic board. So at this moment in time, we're looking at Hibs tonight and Aberdeen to fly the flag for the Scottish clubs. Celtic and Rangers, for me, are in real trouble for Europe.
Yeah, frustrating. I covered the Celtic game last night. Frustrating evening at Celtic Park. Started in good spirits. The crowd were amazing as usual at the start. And it was a bit flat. I think they got a little reaction after the break. They changed the forward line a little bit, and for 15-20 minutes they were getting to grips with the game. But I think Kairat finished the game pretty comfortable again, and obviously the disappointment of the night before as well. It's been a poor week so far, so hopefully Aberdeen and Hibs can improve it for us.
He shouldn't have chanted that from the TV gantry, should he?
No.
I thought it was a step too far.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it was a frustrating night, but
took me back to the first sign for Celtic 93.
That professional standard, seriously.
Yeah. Especially when he turned the camera right on that director's box. I thought that was a bit naughty. But look, there's a lot of Celtic fans, and I'm sure we'll be inundated with phone calls tonight, not happy. I'm a little bit mixed here, Gordon. I totally get where the Celtic fans are coming from, 1,000,000%. I also look at the way the board run the club. I look at Celtic last night, as a team. I think the manager's got to take a bit of responsibility. He's got enough at his disposal to win that game. Whether you agree or disagree with the transfer situation, right? And I think a lot of Celtic fans will certainly be very angry that it's not happened for Brendan Rodgers in that sense, but he's still got enough there at his disposal, and I think he's flying under the radar a little bit, because the first half was abysmal for Celtic, probably the worst for a long, long time. But can I just say something? Sometimes we always look at our teams. I thought they were excellent last night. Yeah. I thought their organisation, they surprised me. I didn't think they were going to be as good as that. And that's why I say I still fancy Celtic slightly, but I think they could be in a little bit of trouble if they don't up their game.
Okay, 0141 951 1025. It's going to be a bit of a moan fest, you would imagine, but that's what Scottish football fans do best at times. So get in touch and let us know what you're thinking. Celtic fans, were you at the game last night? Did you watch it? What did you make of the game itself and where it went wrong? I suspect very quickly that will feed into the bigger picture. So what is your take on it? What is the cause? Is this a squad that is under-equipped for the European Champions League qualifiers? Is it down to the transfer business? Have you been sold short going into this stage of the qualification campaign? Or, as Gordon says, do you look at actually just what happens on the pitch last night? That squad should have enough to win a game like that. Where is it going wrong for you at the moment? And ultimately, can you still qualify? Because so much has been made about this 7,000 mile round trip. Well, Kairat Almaty made it last night and they looked alright, didn't they? So can you go there? Can you win from this position How do you feel overall? Talk to us, please. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, the reaction last night was so strong to your defeat. That tells me you won't be over it in one night. So if you couldn't get through last night, or if you've got something else to share with us, maybe you've calmed down a bit over the space of the last day or so. Give us your thoughts right now, please. Max Ahrens, we're going to hear from him. He says Rangers still can go through. Do you agree with that sentiment or not? Get your calls in, please, on the same number. Send us a tweet. And of course, two big games tonight. How nice would it be if spirits could be lifted by Aberdeen and Hibs? We've not even seen Aberdeen yet in European competition. They had the luxury of waiting till this stage thanks to their Scottish Cup final win. Hibs, they've shown some pretty impressive form. Can they go one step further? The last hurdle, Legia Warsaw, FCSB, the artist formerly known as Steaua Bucharest, up against Aberdeen. So all your thoughts, please, right now on the phones or on Twitter. I don't think there'll be that much positivity in the air around Glasgow tonight, Gordon. Call it a hunch.
No, I all started on Tuesday. It was an absolute disaster of a start for Rangers. Rangers fans going along there with high hopes, especially with the past record of Rangers in Europe, especially at Ibrox as well, under a new manager, under a new regime, thinking, right, okay, it was going to be difficult because we all recognised that they were a decent side, top quality side. But Rangers usually produce the goods. I said in the show, Gordon, at the end of it, just before the game started, when I seen the team coming out, I was very concerned about the back four. I really was. They're shipping too many goals. They're easy to score against. You look in the full-back positions, but for me, the two centre-halves are not forming a partnership at all. They're all over the place for me. I think Suter is better suited on the right-hand side rather than the left. So I wasn't surprised. Look, the game got away from them, 3-0. Butland pulls off a great save, probably 4-0, and it could have went on to be really nasty. Yes, they rallied in the second half. They get back into it, but let's not be kidded here. Rangers ain't getting back into this. They're out. They're gone. So they need to concentrate in a lot of difficult games coming up with St Mirren, Celtic, I think Hearts and Hibs. Very difficult games. You roll that on to last night. You're a Celtic fan going along there. The first half, especially last night, was very poor.
Well, let's find out, because Kevin is a Celtic fan. He's calling from Giffnock tonight. Talk to us, Kevin. We're here to help you get it all off your chest. What are you thinking?
Even I think that's probably what it is, to be fair, because in the car in the home to the stadium last night, I think it was a good 25-minute rant I was on, but I don't think I've quite got it all out my all off my chest. I think Gordon made a lot of good points there in terms of the team and the manager having to take some of the responsibility. I agree with that. I don't tend to agree that I think they're a particularly good side. I think we made them look good in the first half. I think they looked pretty average in the second half. Very well organised. Didn't really pose a threat apart from the sort of attempt for the halfway line. The main point for me is I think there's a bit of split in the Celtic support for what I can sort of see and hear and online is I think there's two sides to the transfer issue. I think the board have got some responsibility in terms of we're short in certain areas and they need to back them. I think the other view as well is, if you look at last night specifically, you had £20 million of summer signings last summer on the bench in Aaron Engels, Trusty and Bernardo. You've also had Adam Eder into that, who was nine. So there's £25 million that Celtic spent only 12 months ago. He hooks the striker at half-time, quite rightly so, because he's nowhere near the level. But from what I'm led to believe, Rodgers pushed for that signing. So the board have backed him to sign Adam Eder, and he quite clearly is not at the level. He had a purple patch when he came on loan, but it doesn't do enough in the game. But the one thing that's clear is we are so short up front. He'd forced four different variations of the front three in one game of football. Now, previously to that, when Ange was the manager and Rodgers last season, very rarely would the front three differ from Jota, Kyogo, Kun, or Maeda, Kyogo, Kun. That was the two variations. In one game of football last night, he's had to try four to try and unlock them. But there's too many players, I think, as well, are not performing, and I do think that's where Gordon's right. Some of this sits in the manager. What Brendan's very good at doing and has been in the past is removing himself from these situations as if, oh, this isn't me, I'm not being backed. And I actually sat and worked the day, sad as I am. I looked at his recruitment the previous time he was here, and I've looked at his recruitment since he was back. It doesn't make great reading for him as a manager. So if you're a board trying to run the club as well as they are financially, there has to be some resistance at the top to say, well, wait a minute, how much more do you need to get us to where we are? Because £25 million is a lot of money for Celtic or Rangers to spend in one window. That's a huge amount of money in Scottish football. So I think you need to see it through both. I think the board are culpable in one sense, but I think Brendan is also culpable. It's playing a wee bit of a game in the sense that, well, this isn't my fault, guys. I don't have the players.
What do you think, Gordon? I think Kevin puts a lot of that across well. I wonder if you agree.
I'm with Kevin 1,000,000% here. I really am. I'm torn because I can totally understand the Celtic fans' frustration, Gordon, right? Because you look at Celtic cash rich, you look at this game and it's important. But once again, I think when you look at the overall situation that last night, I think you've got to concentrate what's on the park. That's starting 11. And Kevin's right. Look at the money that's been spent in that, right? That should be good enough to go and win. Brendan Rodgers, yes, he can argue, well, I've not got the players at my disposal to bring on to change the game and we need wingers. Now, going forward, I totally agree with Brendan Rodgers that he needs to strengthen that squad. He needs players in there. For me, from looking from the outside, like any other Celtic fan, we've not got the privilege to know what's going on inside Celtic Park, but it looks like there's a sort of a disconnection between recruitment and Brendan Rodgers. That's what it looks to me. Nobody is going to come on this phone and tell me that the Celtic board will not spend money, right? I just think that maybe Brendan Rodgers is shopping in a different market for where the recruitment and the board are trying to shop. But I think, is it Kevin? Yeah. Kevin makes brilliant points about, have a look at one point there, there was £29 million of Brendan Rodgers, or 26, sorry, of Brendan Rodgers signing, not even on the pitch last night. Right. Now, I'm not saying you can get every signing right, but that's a lot of money. And plus the fact, what you don't put into that is wages as well.
Yeah.
So it fairly mounts up. I'm not backing the board by any matter of means here. I'm just trying to understand it. Brendan Rodgers, for me last night, goes under the radar because the performance was poor, right? That's down to the manager and the players. That's nothing to do with the board, right? So Brendan Rodgers goes under the radar because the fans are venting their anger at the board. And I see their point because I think Celtic need to strengthen, but for two games against Almaty that everybody thought they should just go and walk over.
Would you not think, though, at a minimum there should have been a wide player or a couple sight? I mean, Nicholas Coon left quite a while ago, so because there is a bigger point here, and I'm separating it completely because Arne Engels, Austin Trusty, Adam Ead, that doesn't look great. They guys need to be contributing way more on nights like last night. But similarly, neither of them play in those areas. You know, those problem areas would still exist, wouldn't they?
Simon will know better than me because he works with Celtic and everything. From the outside looking in, and it's only my opinion, I don't think the Celtic board are sitting there going, do you know what, we're not going to give you a wide man, we're not going to spend a couple of million, 3 million, 4 million. Have a look at the jackpot at the end of this, if they get through this tie, right? So I don't think the board who run the club brilliantly would sit and do that. I think where the problem is, Brendan wants one bit of the market, and I think the Celtic board are looking to shop the other side of the market, and they can't get together. And I can totally understand Brendan Rodgers, from a manager point of view, saying, if I'm going to kick on, I need better quality.
Where are you, Simon, then? If you watched last night, is that a squad that should win that game and they've underperformed last night, or is it a squad that has glaring areas within it that need strengthened?
There's a bit of all of that, I believe. Listen, I was maybe guilty of kind of underestimating that opposition last night. I actually went on record before the game saying, look, if Celtic get a 2 or 3-0...
We'd some 4s and 5s getting predicted
night. There you go. And almost kill the tie before you have to do the 3,500 kilometres or whatever it is to Kazakhstan. So I'm a wee bit in between with it all. I think you look at the guys that have left, and Coon and Kyogo joint. I mean, their goal contributions and assists last year was incredible. Now, I know Kyogo's been away. Kyogo, for me, was the number one striker. And I don't think Adam Ead has really taken that throne yet. So much so that Maeda was used through the middle at different stages towards the end of
the season.
The worry
might be, it looks like he's getting further away from it.
Well, I think he's going through a difficult time, the lad, but I don't think Celtic are playing particularly well. You talk about these players that they've lost. There's another one, Jota, who's injured and he's going about for a long length of time. You look at those three players, they three arguably would be playing in the first 11. Now Maeda might have something to say about that, but they would be pushing for the first 11. I don't think the guys that are there just now are pushing for their impact players. They're coming off the bench. There's some development players there. The young lad Kenny, the striker, they're not quite ready yet. And I get what you're saying about they should be good enough. They should be. I mean, we sat here before the show and I said, look, I still think Celtic can go there and win this game. However, it's going to be bloody hard now.
What do you think, Kevin? Do you think Celtic do go through from here?
I think if they start and continue the game the way they did in the second half, yes, I don't think they would be able to keep us out for another 90 minutes. I think that football's fine margins, as Gordon and Simon will know better than I do, but if I think goal goes in, if that attempt goes in, I think it's very different. I think, you know, the atmosphere in the stadium changes, then they're up. So I think, yes.
The Forest one, Kevin, you're talking about, James Forest one?
Yeah. I think if that goes in, the game does change. I think you could go on and win it maybe quite comfortably. I don't think they were great in the second half, as I say. The one point I just want to make, because I know you'll have other calls coming to do this, but there's just one point I thought Gordon nailed there was, we were talking about this earlier today in work, was I do think there's a disconnect in the recruitment because he keeps saying he doesn't want projects, right? Does he want project players? When you look when Ange came in, Ange had a rebuild and very quickly signed players like Kyogo Maeda, Hitati, Matt O'Reilly, Cameron Carter-Vickers. All of those players were untried at the highest level. All those players were project players. But arguably, in the past 3, 4, 5 years, they've turned out to be our best players, most contributing players in that squad. So I think Rodgers is looking for these big... I mean, he signed Edouard for $9 million in his first stint. He signed Ida for $9 million. I think there is a huge disconnect there, but he needs to understand the model. We're not going to go and spend that money. But, as I said at the start, we've already spent nearly $30 million on those players I mentioned and have let them, well, most didn't kick a ball last night, need to get a hook.
Kevin makes some very interesting points. I'm sure you'll all agree, even if you don't necessarily agree with the sentiment. That was a great call, Kevin. Thank you. What about Alan in Springburn? Alan, how do you look back on last night then?
It's not just last night. I was talking to your producer, Gordon, and it's just... I don't like to have a go at individuals because they're humans, so I don't like to have a go at individuals. However, this isn't the first time. Brendan Rodgers' first spell at Celtic, apart from his first season, let's be honest, his transfer dealings were not good. And his transfer dealings since he's came back have shaped the same theory. They haven't been good either.
Can I also say, sorry to interject, Gordon,
I think the board have a lot to answer for. I do agree with that. However, Brendan Rodgers has spent a lot of money on players that are not good enough to play for Celtic.
Who, like?
Well, again, as I said, I don't like to pick on individuals, but let's just say his three big signings last season. do I need to name them? His three big signings last season. Two of them can't get a game, and one of them's only getting a game because we don't have another striker.
That's a fair point. You've got to take that on board. Look, I totally understand Celtic fans looking, thinking, we're left a bit short, especially last night, as you say, coming off the bench and changing the game. And I totally understand Brendan Rodgers.
And it might get worse, by the way, because Alistair Johnston's out.
And by the way, Maeda was limping at the end as well.
Yeah, so I get all that. I totally take that on board. But there's got to be a fine balance with saying Celtic don't spend money. Well, yes, they do. They brought Tierney back. I know he come back in a free. Mm-hmm. But the wages that he'll be paying Tierney will be very high indeed as well. Yeah. So Celtic do spend money. I just think that it's a bit of both. There's a balance here. I think Brendan Rodgers wants to go for these sort of a players. Celtic want to go down that avenue because that's their trade model. That's what's worked for them. That's the way the club's been run for years. Now, nobody was mourning last year because they had a great Champions League. Bayern Munich run them close as well.
I know, but Kuhn and Kyogo have since left.
I totally get that. But you're now looking at players there. Now, I've got to say, I disagree a little bit. See, Ingles, for me, right now, you would say, Never in a million years is he worth 11 million. But I think he's got the potential to kick on and be a real top
player. I don't really hang on the price tags. That's for other people at the club to deal with, the business stuff. It's not the lads.
But Simon, but price tags come when you've got the Celtic fans who don't really got on his back a little bit. You've got Liam Scales playing last night in front of a £6 million player.
And he did so last season at times as well. I remember the cup final.
And then when Tierney has to go off, he's got Liam Scales and going to left back. So,
because there is a numbers game. We've said this before. Before you even go round in circles about how you upgrade quality and what market you push to, Celtic need a left back. Any left back. I know it sounds a bit extreme, but literally to replace Greg. So if Kieran Tierney replaced Greg Taylor, that's fine. They need another left back. They need a winger to replace Kuhn. So we're not even necessarily talking about trying to upgrade, because it might be tough. You know, can you sign somebody better than Carter Vickers? Probably not. McGregor, Hitati. There are positions that it will be hard for Celtic to keep getting better and better and better, but there are some areas of the team that literally need a body to replace the body that left.
I'm not arguing the fact that Celtic don't need players in the body. What my point is, Gordon, I'm looking at this Celtic team. I don't care what MD tells me. I don't think the Celtic board are sitting there saying, we are not spending another penny. We want to keep all the money in the bank. Because at the end reward of this two games is massive for them, right? The amount of money they could make. I think the breakdown in communication is the manager wants A and the Celtic board want B.
Okay, some good calls coming in on this. Thank you very much. Keep them coming. What do you think? Did you boo? Would you boo? Was that right? Is it wrong? Who's to blame? Is anyone to blame? Can Celtic still go through and then nobody's to blame and they sign players next week? Who knows? Give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly are here. So much reaction coming into last night's game at Celtic Park. Who knew a 0-0 draw would lead to so many talking points? James is in Clydebank. Take it away, James.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hi, James.
But just to give you a wee bit of backstory, I'm not trying to trumpet myself as some massive Celtic supporter, like all this and all that, right? I'm just giving you a wee bit of the backstory. Basically, Celtic have dominated my whole life, more or less all the decisions in my life. And I'm not blaming Celtic or anybody, this is my own choice. But all the decisions in my life, through family and everything, have all revolved around Celtic. They've came before everybody most times, right? So that's my problem, right? But what I can't stand is all these Celtic fans coming on and having a right go at Brendan Rodgers. Now, I'm not saying he's infallible or anything like that, because we're all human beings and aliens are infallible, right? But you're talking about a guy that's won 10 out of 12 trophies he's competed for, the second most successful manager in Celtic's history. You know, he's done everything for Celtic, and when he's been back, he's clearly showed that teams like a couple of seasons ago, a couple of seasons ago in the Champions League with Atletico Madrid and Lazio and that. Now, that whole summer was a car crash in a window, and that came from Lowell's son, Mark Lowell, for all the players he bought, right? Now, Rodgers hardly played any of them, and there's been some sort of vindictiveness against him since that, right? So he signed all the players, and he got blamed for that window. But he's just, every time the guy's been back, that group stage, Celtic were only behind for 2 minutes at that whole group stage at home. We're a team that wasn't capable, and that was just against Lazio in the last couple of minutes when they lost that goal. Celtic played some fantastic football in that group stage, but we're unlucky. So we move on to last season, and we, the proper investment, you see how good we are Celtic day. We compete really well against big teams and all that, and there's players, right? So Austin Trusty and Engels and Ida are getting it tight for everybody, right? But let's put this into perspective. See the fee that was paid for Adam Ida and the fee that was paid for Engels? That was not the day with Brendan Rodgers. That was the day with Celtic board dragging out the whole summer. And the proof was in the pudding that transfer deals can actually get done if you've got the intent to do it. Because Kyogo got injured just nearly started the season, and then 2 days later, Adam Eder was signed magically. You know what I mean? The deal was done. We were overpaid for what we could have gotten, but that was quite silly, like, and it was an insulting offer right at the start, yeah, about $2 million or something like that. Like, I actually, like, this summer, the go-ahead Eagles do. Go-ahead Eagles need disrespect for them already, but they're a small-time club, and their chairman came out and slaughter Celtic for the way they were trying to do business, majorly low-balling teams thinking that we can just bail them into selling. Look at the way we conduct business when we sell our players. We demand top dollar and respect because we've developed them and they've showed up well in Champions League games and that. But then we go and disrespect all the other clubs around about Europe with half bids, and I hear all this stuff. You need to be prudent and that. This summer, we've already sell about £28 million worth of players, and not just players, but obviously the bonus for Frimpong, we got rid of Lager, Bielka. All the money's been brought in there, and we've only spent £3 million. Now, we've lost, in the last year, we've lost Matt O'Reilly, we've lost Kuhn, we've lost Kyogo, and unfortunately, that's not Shelley Bull's fault, but we lost Jot as well. Now, take all the goals we've lost out of that team and asking players like Ida, who was signed intentionally, in the first place signed as a development player to back up the main striker, which he done fantastic in his first spell. Then you lose the goals of Kuhn and the assists. How is anybody expecting to do it? How's Celtic, now, the game last night, Celtic dominated the possession, but that Caratal Matty had more or less the same shots, in fact, more shots than ever on that, right? But the reason why Celtic looked like that, it wasn't because the performance was terrible, it's because we never had the incisive players to destroy teams like Kuhn was doing, like Matt O'Reilly was doing, like Jota was doing, like Kyogo was doing. How can anybody try and question Brendan Rodgers' ability when that's the nonsense he's getting hit with? Now, there's other aspects, yes, I know, just give me time, please, and be patient, but because there's other aspects of what I'm talking about, right? One of the things, and people are, hundreds of thousands of Celtic supporters are probably going to say, oh, you're not a real Celtic supporter, blah, blah, blah. Well, this is the truth of the matter. About a year and a half ago, there was an article done, right? And it was done with Celtic's transfers over a 10-year period. And it brought in other clubs like Ajax and Benfica. One's a kind of similar size to Celtic. Maybe they're playing in a wee bit better leagues, a wee bit better funding, but no much better to what Celtic can do if they get into the Champions League. So there was an article done about it, and it was a 10-year thing with the transfers that done. Now, I can't remember every single fact and figure to detail, but it's more or less point on. So Celtic had signed something like 98 players over that 10-year period for a total of £197 million or euros, right? So that was, in that time, that was, of those 98 players, there was only 49 of them sold for money. So that meant nearly another 50% of the players, all the ones between the 1.5, 2 million to 3 million, all the players that were signed, didn't get sold. We paid wages for them for 2, 3, 4 years, didn't they get any money back from them? They left the club with all their money and all that. So, see the sales at like people like Tierney, who, by the way, Brendan Rodgers was the one that developed and we got the money because he done that. Moussa Dembele as well, you forget about him, how Brendan Rodgers developed him, got the money for him. So, Brendan Rodgers has played plenty of these players, even Christopher Azure and Edward, when they were only had a year left in their contract, and Celtic get 13 and 14 million for their players.
Look, we're covering a lot of ground, James. Let me put some of it to the guys, because there's a lot to, and I can tell you're passionate about it, everyone can hear it, so let's just try and put some of it to the guys, because Gordon Dale's, his attention span, don't tell him I said it's no great, right? So you lost him a bit ago, but we'll bring him back. James talking about, you know, like money going out, money coming in. It's quite interesting that though, that kind of the risk factor of, you know, kind of gambling on Champions League. And this is what people have been saying in the last few nights, because I can't remember if it was, you know, someone on the Celtic board said a few years ago that, you know, the kind of reason that they obviously will keep some money is because you can't always make the Champions League every season. You know, you're going to you keep some of it ultimately. And I am paraphrasing here, but that's like a self-fulfilling thing then, because if you aren't equipped enough to qualify, then you do lose out, and you have to dip into the cash reserves that are there. But maybe if you just invested in the squad, you would make the Champions League anyway. So which way do you see it? Because James is talking about, you know, he doesn't think that you should look too much in the fees last season. He thinks that's fault of leaving it too late in the window and that sort of stuff.
But. Yeah, I think a lot of people are. First and foremost, I would say to James, I don't think MD would say that Brendan Rodgers is not a good manager. I think we all think he is a terrific manager, a terrific coach, and he does develop players, and he's been very successful and won a lot of trophies at it. Of that, there's no doubt. Sometimes, but last night for me, in a one-off game of that importance, I think the manager still has to take a bit of responsibility. He picked to start in 11. He makes the substitutions. Yes, you can argue that he's not got the substitutions to come on there and change the games, but he's got a very decent squad that should have been good enough to deal.
There are glaring gaps in it, though, aren't there? I know what you're saying, because I take the point. You know, Celtic were favourites last night. Mm-hmm. We spoke about the betting odds before the game.
By the way, the first half was flat. Flat as a pancake. And Brendan's addressed that today. He says he wasn't happy with the first 45 minutes. I thought they got a reaction at the start. Their best period of the game was 15-20 minutes in the second half, where I think one of the callers said there that if James Forrest's goal goes in, it might be a different night. But the longer it went at 0-0, it went back to the same pattern.
I do take your point. I thought Celtic should have won last night. I think that squad's good enough. I take that point. But I wonder if it's that simple. Is there not a case to say that the whole point is, if you assemble a squad that is as good as you can, you know, it's the best version of what you can do, and you have that depth and you have those options, you can then still get by on those nights when you're not at your best. Do you know what I mean? You've got quality, so that if you are flat and you're not at your best, because you can't beat your best every night. But that might have been, like, I don't know, a St Mirren or a Livingston or something going to Celtic Park, making life difficult for them, and Celtic don't win the game. We've seen that before. But if your squad is the best version that it can be, you might still get by whilst not at your best. See what I mean? But at the moment, anything other than Celtic's top level,
they're not getting by.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I'm the same as every Celtic fan. I'm astonished that they haven't added forward players especially, right? And I think every Celtic fan up and down the country would agree with that. And Brendan Rodgers would certainly agree with it. My take on this is quite simple, Gordon, and I could be totally off the mark. I just think there's a disconnect in communication between the manager, the board and the recruitment. I think they're wanting to show up in different windows. You know what I mean? That's the way. And I'm not blaming Brendan Rodgers for wanting to bring in the quality players and maybe spend that little bit of extra money, because every top manager wants to do that.
And they did last season. Yes,
and they did last season. But where it's fallen back for him is last season wasn't a great success now, because you've seen his team selection last night. But that doesn't mean to say the next one's not going to be a star, right? But I just feel that the board are getting a real hard time of it, because everybody thinks they're cash rich. I don't think the board are sitting there saying, do you know what? The bank's not getting opened again. I just think it's the difference between what Brendan wants and what Celtic wants.
Let's thank James and bring in Anton. What's sticking out for you, Anton?
Yeah, hi guys, how yous doing?
Good, thanks.
When it is it sticking out, I was watching the game, right, the Celtic game I'm talking about. I'm thinking, right, we're playing Adam Eden. That guy was right who phoned up. He was saying, yeah, we're playing him because we don't have another striker that we could play up there as well. But there's Jamie Vardy without a team. Played with Rodgers before. He knows how he plays. He'd be perfect for in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he was asked about it the other day. Gordon, look, it was hard to really comment too much on. Well, first of all, quickly, would he do a job?
Yeah, I would think he would.
You would, yeah?
Yeah.
Hypothetically, you would start him over Adam Eder currently?
100%. I think Vardy would fit right into Celtic the way that he works from the front. He's one of these guys that will go and press, he'll go and harry, he'll go and win the
still
ball back.
Fit,
he's still very fit. He's okay, I think he's 38 or something like that.
Yep.
Still probably get goals in him. Adam Eder just now just looks like a guy with no confidence whatsoever.
Are you worried about Adam Eder, Anton?
Like a Chris Sutton and a John Hart, since you someone round about and they can talk to him up there and talk him through a match, because as a centre forward, he's either too young, and he's not played enough games to.
He's not that young. He's an international footballer, and
I think he's maybe struggling a little bit being the main striker at the moment.
I know. Yeah, he's
because Kyogo for me was.
He maybe needs someone there to help him up there. I mean, letting go of Kyogo was. I mean, I can't believe that actually happened. He's been the best striker since Larson.
But that's the thing, isn't it? If you're going to pay 9 million, and I know I know we don't need to get hung up on the transfer fees all the time. I do accept that, but if you're going to pay 9 million and he's not your main striker, the guy in front of him is going to need to be absolutely bang at it. You know, as Kyogo was, I think people could sort of swallow that, couldn't they?
And I think
that's probably it's what about Blackman. That's probably why the board doesn't want to go out and buy more players. I think, right, look, you've got a 9 million player up front. How many more 9 million players up there are you going to need?
I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't. If I had the choice, I would have went and got wide players and as quickly as I possibly can. Because I think you can easily, if fit, Maeda through the middle all day long. I think that's his best position for me. So for me, I would have probably went down the wide areas. Unfortunately for Celtic, they didn't do that. And I've got, you obviously, now we're looking at the right back position because Alistair Johnston looks like he's got about for a little bit of time. And you've only got Anthony Ralston there. You've got Tierney in the left back position. Scales is filling in for him. And Tierney, they're bedding in, obviously, 70 minutes and whatever, but he'll get stronger.
Is that the difficulty? An extra, because people have been talking, some people have been a bit calmer than others and saying, well, firstly, wait and find out if we get to the Champions League, because then you know which competition, you know which budget, and then the window doesn't close to the end of August. But you could genuinely say at a bare minimum, without even worrying about, like I say, pushing the ceiling, you could say at a bare minimum right now, in the next week and a half, Celtic need a left back, a right back, a winger, a striker,
another winger.
Like I say, that might be bare minimum.
Mm-hmm. I would say 3-4 players, yeah.
But that was five. Or four or five.
I would say 3 or 4.
Because three might not cut it then. Because which one of them, you know, if it was three, which one of those areas are you neglecting?
You said two wide there, didn't you?
Well, so right back, left back. If you're doing more, you got a winger and no striker.
You think getting away with Scales at left back?
Not particularly. No. I think. Listen, you're talking about possibly.
To be fair, maybe Alistair Johnston isn't going to be as bad as people fear.
But I think more. For looking at the team at the moment, there's a concern of after what happened with Alistair Johnston last night. But the concern for me at the moment is the creativity, the attacking threat side of the team that needs to be improved.
Thank you, Anton. Let me tell you about this before we move on. Clyde One. Make me a winner. I wonder what Stuart and Paisley's up to, because 6 days ago he got the phone call. And he won well over £500,000. Mm. Honestly, I bet the people in Paisley were chatting his door.
I bet Stuart's not in Paisley tonight.
I think he's gone. Yeah. Anyway, you could be the same. It could be Bahamas. You tomorrow. £548,000. Text bank to 61025 for 100 entries into the draw. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. If you want the one entry, text yes to 61025. Those texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269 340. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. The online entry and rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. You are running out of time. Lines close 5 p.m. tomorrow, so do not miss out. Text yes to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dalziel are here. There is a lot happening. We've had a lot of reaction to Celtic Park last night. We've not even done day two of the fallout from Ibrox, and I will get you team news from the European games involving our other Scottish teams tonight as well, Hibs and Aberdeen. Give us a call, send us a tweet. But I suppose technically we do it the really old fashioned way. If you want to send fan mail in, you can do. Joe, I've actually had some fan mail for you tonight.
A fan mail?
Yeah.
Which fan mail? Somebody send in a letter.
Well, I mean, the clue's in the title. It's like fan mail. You know, like.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Right, okay, this
yeah,
is
it shouldn't really take much
this
explanation.
This is a new for me. I've never been in this
so
situation.
So we've got a postcard, if you like, and it's all the way from Sweden. It says, all the best, Gordon, the Dazzler, all the other pundits. Love the show. Keep up the good work at SSB. Kevin and Inga Lil from Värnamo, Sweden. Brilliant. I thought that was really brilliant, just to show how far your reach goes.
Do you know them?
No. I don't think that's for me.
Thanks to the wonders of modern technology, they've actually, I don't know if this is an AI job or something, look at that, they've got you absolutely spot on. The likeness is uncanny.
He's teed you up there.
Do you know something? I was very impressed with that until I seen
look
that.
Look at that.
I'll tell you what, I'd take that.
That is you all over, isn't it?
It is. Can I take that and put it in my house?
It's a mixture of you and the old guy from Up.
Who's Up?
Never seen Up.
No.
The cartoon.
What's the other one?
Harold Bishop. He's a spitting image of Harold Bishop.
It's not Harold, it's the other guy. No, it's the other guy.
You behave yourself.
There are a few. I think for
it's
me.
Not Harold Bishop.
Oh, it's not Luke Carpenter, sorry. I got my Australian TV characters mixed up. Luke Carpenter, yeah.
Luke Carpenter.
Yeah, oh, he's a spitting image of him.
Who is?
You, no,
I'm looking fantastic.
What
I will say
this,
is,
he's, look at him.
I thought I had a decent tan, but you've surpassed me there.
That's wonderful.
Have you been?
Anyway, thank you to
Golf course.
Thank you to Kevin and Ingle.
I like that. Well done, Kevin. And
you want to keep that? You want that for the
Pure
mantelpiece.
Yeah, I'd like to keep that.
Saying that, it's not the only piece of mail you received today. We got an in-person visit from an old friend.
Oh.
I couldn't believe it.
I nearly had a heart attack. I thought he was
so did I. Thought I was off the show.
Mark Wilson in person came into the office to give you an invite to his wedding.
Yeah.
Did you? What I really want to know, is that a plus one?
It's a minibus. He knows
genuinely a plus one.
He knows how popular I am.
See, I'm deadly serious.
Yeah. So have you got a plus one? Yeah, of course.
Well, that's a different. it's an entirely different scenario.
By the way, do you know the best bit about it, right? Only Wilson. It's a beautiful, Leanne must have picked his beautiful invitation, right? No doubt about it. And it says, please don't give any gifts. Right, and then you always.
There's always a but.
There's always a but.
What was the but?
We are going in honeymoon, right? would you like to donate, right? I thought to myself, my goodness.
Everything that guy's done for you, you should dig deep.
Full ten.
Do you know what? I'm giving what you're giving and what Shug's giving.
We're all clubbing in.
We're all clubbing in. 30 each.
Funny though, on the subject, because I heard you were spotted today. My spotters are always out. Mother of Asda, flowers, wine.
Oh, yeah. Spotted romantic. Today. You romantic.
So he was. Anyway.
He's not denying it. He's caught. He's smiling.
I made that up.
Did you?
Oh, of course I did. Anyway, let's bring George in on the line. How are you, George?
I'm not bad, guys. How are you?
Good, George.
Gordon, Simon, and the wee man for up there.
Hi, okay, George.
Only Gordon could receive love letters at his worker.
Anyway, George, what are you thinking?
No, it's just a wee quick point. My mate actually works at Lennox Town, and I was talking to him this morning. He was actually saying that he was going to phone news to go mental, but he's like, I'm going to end up with a sack tomorrow. See, last night's game, Celtic were told not to win, not to score a goal. Do whatever they do is do not let that mob score. And see if you'll go on and watch the start of the game. Look at the players in the lineup. Look at Daida Maeda standing himself. Didn't want to stand with the rest of the team. They were told not to win yesterday.
By who?
So Brendan Rodgers can get players.
What?
Yes.
George, you're at it.
No, I'm not at it.
Your mate, hold up, just so we're clear. Your mate works at Lennox Town and has told you Celtic deliberately threw the game last night so that Brendan Rodgers can strengthen his case to get new players in.
Yeah, Celtic had more than enough in the tank to beat that mob last night, Gordon, so come on.
Well, I mean, I know that, but that to me feels like an entirely different point. Do you know what I mean? Just because. Oh, I like a good theory as much as the next guy. What do you think?
I've heard some crazy calls, but. George.
Oh, come on, mate. What's your pal's name in Lennoxtown?
Yeah.
Come on, what's his name?
Do you know what? I'm going to actually phone him and tell him to phone his cell site.
Exactly. And I'll tell you what, I'll bet you any money he doesn't phone.
I bet you he does, Gordon.
Not a chance.
What would be the... So, Brendan Rodgers was willing to risk it all last night just to get a couple of players in?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. That's in the grapevine. Definitely.
It's not. It's just you. It's just you and your mate so far.
George is at the wind up.
George is not a wide
yeah, 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 George, we know you're
I actually
wider.
Don't think George is in the centre. I think somebody has told George this, if you know what I mean. I don't think George has completely made it up.
What does his mate do at Lennox Town?
They can't give that away because he'll get sacked.
Yeah, but he'll phone in. George's mate will phone
in. So George, what, so they, are they going to, if they do the same next week, if they go out of the Champions League?
No, because they're going to try and get players this week.
Yeah, but they don't think they'll be registered then, would they, Johnny?
I know they will, that's what I'm saying. So it's just a waste of time, whatever they've done.
Right.
They had enough in the tank last night to beat that mob. Hands down, they had enough in the tank to beat that mob last night. Go on and do what I said, right? Watch the start of the game, the lineup. The full team looked as if they were disorientated before they even kicked a ball.
Do you know he done spun them round 20 times before sending them out?
As a champion, I did. The lineup.
What do you mean disorientated?
Hold on a minute, I think George has got something, because I did notice in the huddle they weren't holding on to each other as tightly as they normally do. I think George is on to something.
What do you mean?
And Carl McGregor wasn't really talking.
George is great, man.
Right, I need some time to regroup. Thank you for the input, George. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Never let it be said that passions don't run high in this city. I was outside Ibrox yesterday morning for Sky, trying to speak to fans and find out what they thought. And one guy said he couldn't do the interview about Russell Martin because he was threatening physical violence. So that gives you a sense of how the temperature is in the city at the moment. I mean, I'm not laughing, condoning that stuff, obviously. I'm assuming he was not being entirely serious. But let's play Beat the Pundit. This is a light-hearted bit. It's been all very doom and gloom. So you try and win a signed ball by beating Simon Donnelly or Lou Carpenter on 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Simon Donnelly are here. It's still plenty. Well, we've got an hour left. Plenty of time to give us a call. So 0141 951 1025. Get in touch. Lots of reaction to Celtic Park last night. You can keep that going. I still think there'll be loads to say about Ibrox, because that's not the type of game that you get over in one night. So Rangers fans, step up to the plate as well. And I'll give you team news from Hibs and Aberdeen ahead of a huge night in Europe for them as well. Let's play this first though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Let's bring in tonight's contestant, who is Reno from East Kilbride. How's it going, Reno?
Aye, not bad. How we doing?
Oh, good. Is this your first time on Beat the Pundit?
Yeah.
Good. I like that. It shows the popularity of this competition. Still get debutants night after night.
I like that. How's your record so far?
Terrible.
Oh, he's struggling this season.
Is he? Yeah. And I'm very surprised at that.
I think I've only played twice, beaten twice.
Do you know what I think it is? He needs to spend less time in the arts and more time here, because he's obviously been performing at the fringe. Is that your run over?
My run, my run is finished.
How was it?
It was very good. Dazzler's booked in for
October.
He wants to come.
Pavilion.
He's looking for comps right now.
I just feel
I'm looking for a walk on, but
between the Fringe, Oasis, I feel like you're always. I think it's the arts for you rather than the sport. I think you need to tune back in.
Yeah.
Although, should we tell the listeners about his absolute cracker on the walk down the corridor to get in here? So as you can imagine here at Clyde 1
HQ,
at Clyde 1 HQ, there's pictures of famous musicians on the walls, usually kind of Scottish ones or people that have been in here or whatever. And there was a picture of Texas. Now you all know who the lead singer of Texas is. So Simon says, "Oh, I met her at the weekend. I was at the gig. I met her at the weekend." And Gordon goes, "Oh, Shania Twain."
What's her name?
Charlene Spiteri.
That's it. I knew it was one of the
jokes. Shah.
Shah.
Poor from you. Right, Torino, I'll toss the coin. If it is the blue side, it's Simon Donnelly. If it's the red side, it's Gordon Dalziel. And it's Simon Donnelly, I'm afraid. It's Mr. Edinburgh Fringe.
Oh, it's 3-3, mate.
Well,
come on.
He's got Brides. Torino. Your way, you could.
I could drop the ball
kick
off
the ball
at Reno,
the expressway. Right, Reno, 30 seconds for you. You just answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
No worries.
Right, 30 seconds going on the clock, and your time starts now. In which Kazakhstan city are Kairat based in?
Pass.
Aberdeen's Europa League opponents tonight are from which country?
Austria.
Pereira da Silva is the surname of which Rangers player?
Danilo.
True or false? More Scottish managers have won the English Premier League than English managers. Stephen Presley was working at what club before Dundee?
Brentford.
Who had the number one shirt at Celtic before Kasper Schmeichel?
Joe Hart.
How many SPFL teams have Saint in their title?
Two.
Jim Duffy is currently assistant manager at which club?
Queen's Park.
Okay, let's bring Simon back. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Three, mate, for you.
Same. Think so?
Nah, you'll cruise this.
Did you listen to Reno's attempts there?
No. Right. But I know my partner.
Okay,
I'm
just
saying, I fancy him big time.
Cheers. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. In which Kazakhstan city are Kairat based?
Pass.
Aberdeen's Europa League opponents tonight are from which country?
Romania.
Pereira da Silva is the surname of which Rangers player?
Pass.
True or false? More Scottish managers have won the English Premier League than English managers.
True.
Stephen Presley was working at which club before Dundee?
Pass.
Who had the number one shirt at Celtic before Kasper Schmeichel?
Joe Hart.
How many SPFL teams have Saint in their title?
Two.
Okay. What do you think, Reno? Have you done enough?
Aye, of course, he says.
Oh, Reno, has he?
He's confident.
Both of you.
Calm yourself down, Daz.
Right, Reno, you're lucky you weren't playing me, mate. You'd be hanging up by now without a ball.
Now, both of you should hang your heads in shame, but I'd say mostly Simon. Like, Reno's a Rangers fan. Kairat, what it's city?
Almaty.
Mm. What do you mean, Come on.
Did none of them get that?
None of them got it.
Ach, don't. Just half the bongi, half each.
Aberdeen's Europa League opponents are from Romania, formerly known as Steaua Bucharest, FCSB these days. Simon Donnelly goes 1-0 in front.
Oh, he's a dumpling on the end of phone.
You know, must have a strong
well,
finish.
Here's the thing.
What? He guessed one right.
I'll reluctantly admit, I didn't fancy Reno at this point.
No.
I thought that's two fairly easy ones. However, he came to life. Pereira da Silva is Danilo Pereira da Silva.
Did you not get that?
Reno pulls
you'd
one
never
back.
Got it either.
I did. I was all over that.
True or false? More Scottish managers have won the English Premier League.
No, who's that?
Will you be quiet?
Right.
More Scottish. It's true. Of course it is. No English managers have won the English Premier League.
Have they not?
Come on, Dazzler.
None at all?
None.
All right, okay. Did Reno get that?
He did.
Well done, Reno.
To each.
No, because you got that as well, didn't you? Sorry, to each. Stephen Presley was working at Brentford.
Brentford!
Reno got it. Goes one in front.
I got that, mate.
Both got Joe Hart. So Reno stays one in front. Both got St Johnstone and St Mirren, two. Reno stays one in front.
You're finished.
And Reno got more questions.
Completely.
What was your next one?
Jim Duffy is the assistant manager
Queen's
at which
Park.
Court. Reno got it as well. Reno scooshed it in the end. See?
Well done, Reno.
You doubted him. Well done, Reno. Three defeats in a row for you.
I got four as well, didn't I?
Yeah,
six, four.
Reno was good. Reno was really good.
Well done, Reno.
What do you mean you get six?
There was a ten written all over that day. There's a 10 written all over.
Would you have got all of them correct? Yes. No, you showed your hand in the English Premier League.
Okay, maybe I went another way.
So there we go. Well done, Reno. Chuffed with that.
Oh, I knew it'd be easy.
Stick in the boot, they two dumplings. He says, "Stick in the boot." I love it.
You might not be wrong.
I love his style, Reno. I'll take the smile off your face potentially as a Rangers fan. How do you look back on the other night?
Well, we've been terrible all season, but first 20 minutes on Tuesday was pathetic. The goals, I don't know how much you can blame Martin for just players.
Are you still a bit more patient with regards to the manager? Because, I mean, we're not finished August yet and he's getting a lot of stick, isn't he?
I wouldn't say patient, but I can give him a bit more time than someone.
Have you seen signs that it can come good?
No. No, I can't do that. I do have eyes.
Well, fair enough.
He's in top form in 8 hour, Reno, isn't he?
He's good one-liners. Gordon, like I said, if it were, this is the way Glasgow can operate at times. If it weren't for the Celtic game last night, we'd still be wall to wall with calls on Rangers tonight. You know, there was an incredible reaction to that last night on last night's shows. I'm sure you heard. So, how do you change your tune on it at all with a day's distance?
No, Look, they rallied in the second half. They got a goal. And I think most Rangers fans would look at that and think, right, okay, they showed a little bit of spirit. There's a problem there. Now, it's not the same as Celtic because the board have backed this manager. He brought in, what, 10
players?
It's just
two entirely different circumstances, isn't
it? Of course it is. What's not surprised me, because it is Glasgow. He's just in the door. We're not in the end of August. And already, I would say a big percentage of the Rangers fans already want him out. I don't think that'll happen. I don't think that they'll go down that road again. How many times have they got to keep doing this? Getting managers in, starting off backing them. Now, as I say, they backed him with 10 players. All of a sudden, if he goes out the door, new manager comes in, that manager might not fancy a lot of the players. They're back to square one. Look, it's a hard blow for Rangers fans just now. And it doesn't get any easier with the fixtures coming up. When was the last time you would say that Rangers are going to Paisley at the weekend, right, against a St Mirren team? And St Mirren are fancied to win this.
See, on that, though, so Rangers are still favourites for this game, like, officially, you know, and that, to be sometimes, you know, because I bet if Stephen Robinson was listening, I'm sure he would be thinking, well, I really fancy our chances, and I think I'm really proud of what we do, and I've got full belief in my team, but hold on, like, hold on a minute, like, look at
what they've spent.
Look at what they spend. Look at everything that goes into it.
But flip it, I'm not just saying that Stephen Robinson, of course he is, he's St Mirren. St Mirren players, St Mirren supporters. I'm talking about Rangers supporters here, Gordon. I think there's a lot of Rangers supporters.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Is it easy for the sort of doomsday scenario to sit in?
I think so. I think it's...
Seeing the law of averages, how many games into a league season are Rangers going to go without winning?
Yeah, I think it's too early to pull the trigger, right? I totally agree with the Rangers fans that what you're watching is not good enough. At the back, they are dreadful. They're all over the place. They will concede goals left, right and centre. There's not a chance in the world you're convincing me they're going to Belgium next week and they're coming back in the Champions League group stage. Not a chance.
Their best performance so far has been the home tie against Pilsen.
Right.
Everything else, they've gave up lots of chances. They've called upon their keeper. They've got a little bit of luck, but the other night, the first 20 minutes... I couldn't believe
but don't get me wrong, they're a good team.
They are a good team. They're a good team. Rangers are two or three levels, I agree with you.
Rangers are in a progress of a rebuilding, new players coming in.
I could think it really, I mean, well, I'm embarrassing. Was it embarrassing? 3-0 after 20 minutes, you're feeding the worst.
It kills you.
They hung into the half time and they weathered the storm, they got a goal back, but.
I tell you
the goals, the nature of the goals as well.
See, when you look at their next few fixtures, Bruges, Celtic, well, St Mirren, Bruges, Celtic. Hearts, Hibs.
And now Celtic are in crisis, apparently, tonight as well. That's what I mean, in the space of a night.
It can turn as quickly as it... You know, all of a sudden, Russell Martin could have a few good games. Where I sort of disagree, right? I don't want Russell Martin to get sacked. Not at all, right? A lot of Rangers supporters do, but I don't. Right, I think you've got to give the guy time, bed in his new players, see what he's got to deliver. Where I don't buy into it is when he comes out and says, I'm really proud of my players, whatever... Rangers fans don't buy that. They do not buy it. I liked Russell Martin when he came out after the game at Motherwell at Fir Park and really told the truth, right? Went out there, had a go at his players, not good enough, you will not be playing. I liked that. I really liked that. Honesty, up front, and I think he got a great reaction from it. So, as I say, there's a lot of doubters out there just now, and I take on board why, but I don't think Rangers will press a panic button just now.
Thank you very much to Reno, who was not only victorious on Beat the Pundit, but talking football with us as well. So well done again, Reno. Have a good evening. 01419511025. We need to get you back.
Oh, no,
don't know what it is. Team building. See, when managers are going through a tricky spell, they take their team paintballing. That's what you need to do. Get him go-karting, paintballing.
It's the start of a season.
But you've lost three. You're letting the place down. We're running out of balls because of you. People are now waiting to see when you're on.
Out of interest, where is he?
2 out of 2.
I see Big Marv was top.
I'm 100%.
You know, they say don't look at the league table until the first international break. I feel a bit like that on here as well.
DL's 100%.
So are a lot of you. In fact, most of the pundits are.
Apart from Sid.
Oh, you're bottom, aye.
Mate, you're not even on that page, you're on the other page.
No, absolutely not. Jamie's in Irvine, how are you, Jamie?
How are you doing, guys? Very well.
Good, what are you thinking, Jamie? Well, is this in relation to Tuesday, by any chance?
Absolutely, to do with Rangers, Russell Martin.
I think with him coming into the equation as a head coach, very worrying times for Rangers fans, and particularly myself, with him being a defender. He's come in, and let's not be about the bush here. He's actually seen what Rangers needed when he came in, because we were all over the place defensively as well. But the guys he's brought in to replace what we had, I think are even worse. It's like Calamity James at the back. The defending's all over the shop. It's a bit like my missus when Black Friday's on. She goes into her shop and she doesn't know what way to go.
I was really, really terrified about where that was going.
The thumb rules of defending. Let's get the basics right. They don't even get that right. You've got to be aggressive, commanding, make your decision making. Put a tackle in. I mean, maybe boy goes to football and his coach says to him, or I say to him, don't tackle. I mean, that's what I'm seeing from Rangers players. None of them put a foot in. And that's the thumb rules of defending in any team. Before you even start to get into his philosophy of actually trying to play football from the back, I mean, he's not got the players for that. Rangers are not good enough with what they've got at the back to play football in that kind of, you know, that just doesn't suit what the players that he's got.
I think it's a really interesting point, Jamie. I wonder how you two feel generally, right? I'm going to make it all about me or my personal feelings about these things with Motherwell, right? Being my team, being an example.
Yeah.
The Motherwell manager has come in, wants to play a completely different style of play, has had to play Stephen O'Donnell and Paul McGinnis centre backs.
Yeah.
Without being unfair to him, I think you would generally categorise Liam Gordon as being a bit more of an old school centre back, not necessarily someone who's had to build his career, you know, playing through the lines or whatever. See, when you hear this, don't have the players for it. Mm-hmm. How can the Motherwell manager come in and get the team instantly playing the way he wants, but Rangers don't have the players for it? The players for what? The players to pass the ball to a teammate?
I don't know, mate, to be honest with you. I think you could maybe argue the pressure's maybe more intense here.
I don't doubt that.
I watched the other night and, you know, the roof seemed to cave in pretty quickly. I mean, as Jamie says, the basic defend, I mean, to let the lad run by him, you know, when he thinks the keeper's coming out to get it, it's really, really poor defending. And then the next one's like a corner and they don't block it and it's 2-0 down and, you know, you see fans leaving and stuff. It's intense and it just looks as if they struggle to handle it. But I go back to the Panathinaikos game where I thought they were creating problems for themselves as well coming out for the back, you know, taking risks in silly areas. And they're giving away too many chances.
It doesn't help when you set up for a corner kick the way they set up and lose a goal. They're all over the place at the back. Rangers right now are easy to score against. And I'm not looking at... my personal opinion, Gordon. I would have played Tavernier, right? I know Tavernier's got his critics, but Aaron's for me at right back right now is offered absolute nothing. I know he started at left back and people said not his natural position, but the argument was he's played there before, he's played there at a lower international level with England. He get moved to right back, his natural position. He will never, just now, the way he's going about his business, get anywhere near Tavernier's numbers. Now, I'm not just blaming Aarons and the fullbacks. I think the two centre-halves look like they're not formed a partnership at all. I think they're all over the place.
Chiga won't play this weekend because he's suspended, so you'd imagine Fernandez comes in. Jamie, are you saying you've run out of patience with Russell Martin already?
I absolutely have. I've seen enough. I know what I see, he's had six games into the season. He's only won two of them, and let's be honest, the two that he's won, one was a cup game and one was against a really poor team in Europe. At home, they get beat away from at home against the same side. But we've not even had a clean sheet. I think the last three games we've conceded seven goals.
Beat Panathinaikos, Pilsen, and Alloa. But he says, you know, he expected pain at first, and, you know, remember where Rangers have been. He's there for a reason because you've barely won anything in recent seasons, and it can take a bit to turn round the tanker. That stuff. You're not buying any of that.
I'm not buying any of it. I think we're actually a worse squad than we had last season. I mean, surely to God, as a manager, he has to look himself in the mirror and say, I understand why he doesn't want to drop the people like Aarons and, you know, Rodwell, because he's went out and got them, and it makes him look bad if he sits in front of a board and says, look, 3 or 4 weeks into the season, he's not playing Rodwell, he's not playing Aarons, they're going to ask questions. But I'm sorry, there comes a point when he has to look himself in the mirror and say, Tavernier is a better right back than Aarons all day long. Raskin has been played out of position on numerous occasions. That's why he spat the dummy and had an argument with him. He wasn't playing as a number six. He's done that recently, which is, you know, is Raskin's best position. So he's had people all over the place. He's 6 games into the season. He doesn't know what his best 11 is. I mean, there's guys on the bench, I think, are well more equipped. I looked at the team the other night. I would give, honestly, out of the 11 starters, I'd probably keep 3 of them.
Wow.
Maybe 4.
Who's the 3?
Well, I would still keep the goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. I think he's good. I mean, he made a mistake the other night, but to be fair, he's been Rangers' best player this season. He's kept him in the European ties before, and he's been my best player. That's never a good sign, if your goalie's your best player. That says everything to me as a defensive unit. I would keep Raskin, and I would keep Iggeman, and I'd probably keep Asgard. The 3 to 4, that's the 4. The rest can go for me.
Fair enough.
Rangers players, okay. Not need it.
Fair enough. Thank you very much. 01419511025. We're going to get team news ahead of two huge European games for Hibs and Aberdeen when we return.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL are here on a huge night of European action for Hibs and Aberdeen. I'm going to give you team news. So let me quickly, I'll read the teaser to you. I don't even need any answers. I'll leave it with you. Then we'll get round the grounds, because this is far more important than you two struggling with this since 1999. Gone back a bit. 8 players have played for Aberdeen and Hibs and at least one other Scottish club who's been in Europe this season. So since 1999, 8 players have made an appearance for Aberdeen and Hibs and at least one of the other Scottish clubs have been in Europe this season. So obviously, to simplify that, you're looking for someone who's played for Aberdeen and Hibs,
Dundee United,
plus Rangers, plus Celtic, plus Dundee United, something like that. Okay. So I'll leave it with you. Right, let's go to Andrew McLean, who's got team news ahead of Hibs' massive European qualifier tonight.
Yeah, this is huge. What a night it was last Thursday as well here at Easter Road. An incredible atmosphere. That Kieran Bowie wonder goal, the extra time winner from Chris Cadden as well. It's a sellout tonight, and those making their way to Easter Road will be hopeful that they're in for another memorable night. What an opportunity for David Gray's side to get to the league phase of the Conference League over these two legs. Hibs have never actually competed in any group stage or league phase of a European competition, despite being the first British team to play in Europe. So this could be a huge piece of history that this Hibs team could make if they get through this two-legged tie. It is Legia Warsaw that stand in the way, and it's maybe hard to judge where they're at if you look at them overall. They finished 5th in the Polish top flight last season. They haven't won a title in 4 years. However, they got all the way to the quarterfinals of this competition last season and lost to Chelsea, who went on to win it. But then this season, they've already lost 5-3 on aggregate to AEK Larnaca in the Europa League qualifiers to drop into the Conference League. But anyway, you dress up, I'm sure Hibs will have their tails up, and I bet many in here will sense a real opportunity ahead for David Gray and his players. Just looking at Hibs team news, they've made 6 changes from that League Cup win over Livingston at the weekend. Out go Salinger, Hanley, Megwa, Mane, Chaiwa and Kleji. In come Smith, Bashiri, Chris Cadden, Mulligan, Levitt and Bowie. So Jordan Smith in goal for Hibs this evening. The back three, Warren O'Hara, Rocky Bashiri and Jack Iredale. It'll be Chris Cadden, the right wing back, Jordan Abita, the left wing back, the 3 central midfielders, Josh Mulligan, Josh Campbell and Dylan Levitt, Martin Boyle and Kieran Bowie leading the line tonight. The substitutes, Salinger, Hanley, Ewan, Manny, Chaiwa, McGrath, Kleche, Nicky Cadden, Hoylett, Megwa, McIntyre and Molotnikov. It's starting to fill up here at Easter Road, an 8 o'clock kickoff in Leith.
Really looking forward to that one. As Andrew said, last week was brilliant. It was really, really brilliant. I know everyone's got their own sort of rivalries and whatever, and some people maybe can't overlook that, but I just thought generally it felt like a lot of Scottish football would keep a real eye on it, and it was just great to see the outcome. We obviously had Chris Cadden live on the show on Friday on the back of it, following his dramatic goal there as well. Can they go again? Can Hibs, can they do it?
Yeah, I think they're playing with a lot of confidence. They've got goals in their team. They're very good. I just worry about at the other end. I think they give up goals occasionally, Gordon, but I think they've got off to a great start this season. They're playing with confidence. David Gray's built a very, very good squad there indeed. Competition for places. I think he's got the right sort of a mix experience and youth, and I think he's got the right formation that suits his players. So I'm expecting in front of a packed house, again at Easter Road, brilliant atmosphere, great game. I think Hibs will go by a narrow lead.
I like the striker as well. I like Bowie. What a goal last week.
Superb.
I've seen him actually giving Carter Vickers a hard time last season. I like him, aggressive, and I think he'll push his way into that Scotland squad very soon if he keeps performing that way. I know he's had a little touch of it already, but he's spearheading that attack. And last week's, as you say, the atmosphere was electric. And if they can get going again tonight, this team will be decent though. But hopefully they can get a result.
It would be massive, wouldn't it, if Hibs could go and do that. And I thought it was really interesting at the weekend. They almost, look, it's early days. If you can get through to the group stages, that's an entirely different challenge of constantly going Thursday, Sunday. But to go to a team like Livy, make six changes, take some heavy hitters out of the team and still really control the game and win it, that was a real sign of like almost a kind of maturity from Hibs, because that's not easy for our teams usually.
No, I've always thought that was going to be a difficult game, but Hibs ran out worthy winners. But the difference with Hibs this season is they go to Livy and they bring in £1 million player. So it shows you the strength and depth that they've got. You're right, I think Boyle and Bowie up top are a real handful for anyone. So it'll be interesting to see how they do tonight. And as I say, I think the Hibs fans have bought into this style of football. They're packing out Easter Road. They're making a great atmosphere. The players are rising to that. The manager's, you know, he's a cult hero there. They love him. So at this moment in time, if you're a Hibby, you're in a good place.
It shows if you give somebody a little bit of time. He was under pressure last year. Give him a little bit of time and he's turned it right round.
Yes, really looking forward to that one. What about Pittodrie, Dave Galloway? How's that one looking?
Well, a huge night for Aberdeen, Gordon, and a huge test for them after an underwhelming start to the season. Really good atmosphere building here. Pittodrie will be pretty close to capacity for Jimmy Tilleen's first Euro playoff as Don's boss, and he insists they have no interest in relying on a Conference League safety net. The only focus is on overcoming FCSB over two legs and clinching a place in the Europa League group stage. The pressure is on tonight's visitors, the Super League of Champions. They've made a poor start to their title defence and they sit 13th after only one win in their opening six matches, and their build-up wasn't helped after three players were reportedly denied visas after landing here in the northeast. Let's look at the team news then, and Aberdeen are along familiar lines, although the big news for them is that skipper Graham Shinney will have to make do with a place on the bench. They will start with Mitov in goals, a back four of Jensen, Dorrington, Milne and Molloy. The sitting midfielders Palaversa and Heltman Nielsen. Then it's Milanovic, Ajucic and Keskinen, with Yenge leading the attack. The subs for the Dons tonight: Suman, Vitals, Devlin, Shinney, Knuster, Polvara, Clarkson, Bilalovic, Boyd, Sokler and Lobin. Looking at the opponents, the Romanian champions FCSB, that's easy for me to say. Let's hope I can get the teams right. They will start with Tamuvanu in goals, then it's a back four of Cretu, Graiovac, Mihal Popescu and Pantea. The sitting midfielders Cinchez and Suit. Then it's Mikulescu, Tanase and Kisotti, with Berlighea leading the line for them. Their subs are Zima, Kiki, Lexandru, Ejuma, Politic, Olaru and Octavian Popescu. The match officials, well, they are all from the Netherlands tonight. The referee is Serdar Gozubuyak, and on VAR duties, it's Paul Van Berkel.
Did Dave get that FCSB team right just for you, Gordon?
Yeah, I thought he got it spot on.
Who was the standout for you when he read that?
The lad up front. And
big guy.
Yeah, he's quite right to highlight him. What was his name again?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I would see if I was one of these guys out of the grounds, I would never go for a away team.
Because
nobody's actually interested in the away team. Nobody knows them. They're more interested in the home
team.
Excuse
me, you got fan mail from Sweden. We could have Romanian listeners today.
Yeah, okay.
What about Aberdeen then? Because not as good a start to the season, but also not as much of a sample size either, because they've had the luxury of not having to do any of the qualifying rounds up until this point. That also obviously means you don't go into the League Cup. So we've only really got two league games and a cup game against Morton to judge them on. Is that detrimental to Aberdeen? Do they now go into this game, you know, not quite having hit their stride yet?
Yeah, but to be fair to them, you look at the start to the season. Tynecastle, Hearts away, Celtic
so
at
that's,
home.
That's what I mean. So very like, difficult. There's not a lot to go on yet, no, but they haven't been great either, I
thought the result down at Capello was so important to them. They couldn't go down there and afford to struggle there and lose that one. I think he'd come under. Yeah, but he would have come under some real pressure. Big night tonight, European night at Pittodrie. Another packed house, probably. I fancy Aberdeen to maybe start to get into their side a little bit. They've got some decent players there. They're at home tonight, so I'll be looking for a good performance.
I think both teams being at home. I know that's not really reflected earlier on in the week with the games at Ibrox and Celtic Park, but I think with both teams at home, if they can go and get a positive result to take away and give themselves half a chance. But listen, they've won the cup last year. This is a reward for them, so they need to go and enjoy it, try and do well in it. The fans are, you know, the excitement of being back in Europe, so they have to make the most of both being at home.
Looking forward to them. We're giving you the team news there from Easter Road and Pittodrie. So we'll enjoy the rest of the build up, and then of course whatever happens tonight, reflect on it tomorrow. Let's bring in Billy, who's in Tollcross. Hi Billy.
How you doing?
You alright?
I'll tell you what, I mean, I was at a game the other night and I didn't leave after 20 minutes. I left after 12.
No, seriously?
Seriously, I came here, I got out of that ground after 12 minutes because I've seen kids' teams line up better. And Russell Martin's style of possession football is side to side. And then Max Ahrens, I've never seen Max Ahrens, even when he's running forward, he'll turn around and play a ball back away. And talk about that, he gives you nothing going forward and he's not a great defender. So why replace Tab with him? Joe Rothwell, if he lives to his 150, will never be the player that Nico Raskin is.
Gordon, see on Max Ahrens, this is definitely going to sound really critical and I don't mean it, because I'm serious, I'm not trying to be clever about it. I'm interested to see how he develops, to see even what is the attribute that is seen as being better than what James Tavernier's got. Do you see what I mean by that? Like, and maybe we've just not seen it yet, but if you're going to say, well, he's better at one-on-one defending, he's better at going forward, he's better at deliveries, it's not immediately obvious what that would be yet.
Right.
And that's me trying not to sound critical. I know it came across that way, but do you see where I'm going?
Yeah, I totally agree. He's been brought in. I think the only reason he's got the jersey just now is to justify them bringing him in, right? He's nowhere near James Tavernier, and he probably won't. The boy's just into Scottish football, and it's very easy to look up him just now. For me, he's offered absolutely nothing for Rangers, left back and right back. I don't know why he's in the team just now. Now, that's not to say that he can come good, Gordon, right? Because it may take him a little bit of time. He's coming up to a club the size of Rangers, demands on it, everything that goes with it. There's a lot of pressure running out that tunnel at Ibrox. Let's not be kidding. And right now, I think the Rangers fans are looking, thinking, we don't see why we've signed this guy, right? To drop Tavernier, your captain, and I know Tavernier gets criticised left, right and centre on this programme, but to drop him for a guy that's probably not playing at his best and not producing what he should be producing, I just don't get that either. I think Billy's spot on with that. I don't understand that for the Rangers manager, leaving your captain out in a night like that, especially with a guy that's not performing at the top level. And that's not to say he's coming. I don't think he's alone. I think the two centre-backs look all over the place. I really do. I think Suter looks so uncomfortable on the left-hand side. For me, he cannot play there. I thought the young left back coming in the other night. Listen, a bit of freshness there. I thought he was nice on the ball and everything while he was on the pitch. But I do agree, Rothwell for me is he slows everything down. He tends to try and just keep the ball.
I think Russell Martin said the other night was Joe Rothwell's best game so far.
Yeah. But I do agree with Billy once again. I think in that Rangers side now, I think he needs a bit of energy. I think Lyle Cameron gives him that bit of energy, a bit of surge when he comes in as well. Look, there's no doubt they've got defensive problems. It's up to Russell Martin. I don't think they'll change it. I know Rangers fans are crying out just now, as early as August, to say that he's not the man to take them forward. I think that's a little bit unfair. I think you've got to give him time. There's no point in ripping it up. You backed him. You brought in 10 players. You know what I mean? So you've got to just go with it and hope that he comes good in the end.
Yeah, it's big decisions to leave those type of players out, because I know Tavernier gets a lot of stick, but I think he's still one of Rangers' best performers. And Raskin last year was arguably their best player, him and Cherney. Popped up with goals against Celtic. I thought he had a really good second half to the season. It's big calls to leave these guys out. And as you say, if the guys coming in are not improving the side, then, you know, it's only going to go one way. But I'm very surprised that he's leaving the likes of Tavernier out just now.
Thank you very much. 01419511025. That was Billy there. We'll get the answers to the teaser and edge closer to kick-off in those big European games when we return.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
Well, do you think you know your football better than our pundits? I bet you do. And understandably, you've now got the chance to prove it. The Pundit Predictor kicks off tomorrow night. Simply guess the result in three SPFL games and you could win £100. If you don't get all three right, the cash then rolls over. So it could be quite an interesting picture in a couple of days' time. Plus, every Friday night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we're going to do that. So make sure you join in. It's thanks to McNair's Building Supplies.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dale are here. Two huge games we're looking forward to getting underway between Aberdeen and FCSB of Romania for a place in the group stages. And Hibs still to come, taking on Legia Warsaw at Easter Road. It's been a tough week for Scottish clubs in Europe. How nice would it be if those two could cheer everything up a little bit? We'll find out between now and the end of the evening. You've got a very, very difficult teaser. Thank you to the Sensible Donkey for sending it in. The Donkey fired up the email fulltime@clyde1.com and sent the following. Since 99, 8 players have made appearances for Aberdeen and Hibs, the theme of tonight, and at least one of the other Scottish clubs in Europe this season. So they've played for Aberdeen and Hibs, plus Celtic, plus Rangers, plus Dundee United, that sort of thing. Did you get any so far?
Yeah, got a couple of my old strike partners.
Well done.
Stevie Crawford.
Yep.
And Craig Brewster.
Correct.
Scott Brown.
Well done. Perhaps forgettable spell at Aberdeen, but famously played for Celtic and Hibs.
You get another one.
Do you?
No. Oh, McGrath.
Jamie McGrath, yes. Hibs, Aberdeen, Dundee United.
Yeah.
St Mirren, but that doesn't come into the equation. Well done. So, 4 down, 4 to get. Is that right?
Yeah, just to correct him, I got Crawford.
Oh, did you? You gave it to him.
Yeah, he's just...
Did Kenny McLean on that list?
No.
No, I know he played Aberdeen.
That's it. Yeah. Just Aberdeen out of them.
Could have went on, couldn't
it? I was going to name like any former Aberdeen player.
Any Aberdeen player that comes up my head.
Very, very tricky.
It's very difficult, I think. So what I will do is give you some
clues.
Slight clues. The ones you're looking for, I would hone in on players that have played for Aberdeen, Hibs and Celtic. Okay, because you've got two of them to get.
Right.
So let's make that your starting point, because the other two are harder. So players that have played for Aberdeen, Hibs and Celtic. Okay. Leave it with you. Did I get score predictions from you, by the way, on the games tonight? How do you see them going?
I think both will win. I think it'll be very tight. But home advantage.
2-1 both.
Really?
Yeah. 2-1 both, I think.
So you're as confident. FCSB obviously came to Ibrox last season, didn't they? I thought they were really poor that night. Rangers did well. Rangers were at it, but I thought they were poor. It just depends. Do we know enough have we got enough faith in what Aberdeen are capable of?
No, in a nutshell, but I'm trying to think positively.
I don't mind that. It just feels like the jury's possibly still out, and that might be generous, Gordon.
Yeah, I'd be more confident of a Hibs result. The way they've started the season, the way they've put their squad together, and keep going back to it, they've got a real goal threat up front. But I think it's a big night for Aberdeen. I think they've got to kickstart a season somewhere. It was a good result at Capital, and I know it's a Championship team they were playing.
Capital?
Capello. Okay. What did I say?
I think you said Capital.
No, Capello.
Okay.
But I thought it was a sort of a pressure game for them down there. They come through that, and I think they will kickstart their season tonight. I think it'll be tight. I don't think it'll be, you know, a 3-0 or a 2-0. I think it'll be very tight. A 1-0 would do Aberdeen tonight.
I think Aberdeen would be hoping to take advantage of the chaos, uncertainty. Three FCSB players were held at Aberdeen Airport, visa issues and so on. So.
Which, see, Dave, he'll do anything to get a result for Aberdeen.
Hopefully the best.
Yeah. Hopefully. We'll wait and see. Right, don't forget there is still time to squeeze calls in. I think we can manage it. 01419511025. Might need to be quite prompt with it, but still plenty of scope. Barry is on in the East End. Barry, if I was to ask you to not swear but sum up last night, what would you go for?
Last night, if I was close to Peter Lowell or any other the board members, I'd be asking for a resignation.
So this is on them, you feel?
Yeah, it's on them. I mean, Celtic had the chance to register two more players on Tuesday night, and they never took the opportunity.
Where do you stand on the counter-arguments, which I'm sure you've heard many times, is that actually Brendan Rodgers was given loads of money last season and that's not worked, and the team should have been, regardless of signings, should have been good enough to win last night?
Yeah, to be fair, the team should have been good enough to win last night. I mean, I did see the producer was a bit of sizzle and no stake when Celtic were on the counter-attack when they had decent spells. But, pardon me, they just weren't good enough, especially in the first half. I mean, that Kira Aramata, they actually scored, but the goal was ruled offside and there was a mistake by Carter Vickers last night. Could have cost Celtic going down 1-0.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers on, because, you know, the caller, Barry's talking about, again, being the board's fault, so to speak. Let's hear what Brendan Rodgers had to say in response to questions about the sack the board chants and so on.
Well, listen, what I do know is over many years, sack the board normally means sack the manager. It's normally the manager that goes when that starts to be sung. But no, listen, I think I can only really look at the players that we have here and the performance. We've known for a long time what we've needed as a squad, so I don't want to go into that. I can only concentrate on what we have here. Of course, at the end of the game, we're having to shuffle things about to try and make it work and play players out of position. But the players' endeavour in the second half was really good. But at this level, it's more than that. So hopefully we can show that. The boys are a great bunch of lads. They're really honest. They've started the season well. Defensively, have been strong. But tonight, offensively, we just couldn't show those moments of quality to break through.
What did you make of that comment, Gordon, about, you know, in the fact it's usually the manager that gets sacked when fans start? I wasn't really genuinely not sure what to make of that.
I don't know what he's meaning by that. I think he's just putting it out there, and he's obviously got a mic stuck in him, stuck in his face after a game. He's emotional.
Even when you're not trying to be chaotic.
Yeah, his emotions were running
stuck
very
in his face.
Stuck in his face, that's
my
what I said.
Goodness.
His emotions was running very, very
that would be uncomfortable, wouldn't it? It's not the way you want to end your Wednesday.
He certainly would hope he'd get the sack after that. But look, he's disappointed. Of course he is. He's disappointed with everything from last night to, you know, the transfer, recruitment, everything that's going along. Things aren't good now. I think there's a divide there. I think everybody can see that. And the sooner they get it sorted, the better. And look, he is a very, very good manager. He produces the players in the sense of he goes there and he makes them better. We've seen that. He's very good at it. But it'll be interesting.
as if that's not bad enough, he's got a medical emergency.
Hang that picture out your head.
Oh my goodness. Luckily, it's the end of the show. It's descended into farce already. Still goalless between Aberdeen and FCSB, about to kick off between Hibs and Legia Warsaw quickly. So, 8 players have made appearances for Aberdeen and Hibs and at least one of the other European clubs this season since 99. So, Scott Brown, Jamie McGrath, Craig Brewster, Stevie Crawford. Did you get any of the Celtic Aberdeen Hibs ones?
No. Come on, Sid, you're Celtic, man.
What about the current Cove manager?
Paul Hartley.
What about someone who...
Hey, I'd scribbled that down earlier as well.
Part of that really good Hibs midfield they had with like John McGinn, Scott Allen,
Del McGeoch.
Done.
Speaking of Cove, who thought there would be a Cove link in this?
Did he play with Cove?
He was involved in a Wigan's FA Cup final triumph as well. Remember that?
No.
Fraser Fivey.
Oh, I never got him.
And the last one, really tricky, Florian Camberi.
I'd have got him.
No, you wouldn't. Okay, thank you to Gordon and to Simon. We will be back tomorrow, which should be unmissable, if I do say so myself, because we'll look back on Aberdeen and Hibs, see what they get up to in Europe, and we're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers and Russell Martin again. What a week those two have had. Let's find out what the latest updates are tomorrow. And do you know who I really want to hear from tomorrow? Hugh Keevans. What on earth will he have made of this week? We'll do it from 6 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.